If you have your Bible with you today, we'd ask that you turn with us to the 10th chapter of the book of John's Gospel. And we're going to start our reading lesson with the 22nd verse, John chapter 10, and starting with the 22nd verse. This, of course, written by the Apostle John. The apostle that John said of himself that I am the disciple that Jesus loved. And I want you to know that when you think about that, we would like to almost add on to that. From John the apostle that Jesus loved to the followers, to you, that Jesus loves also. And I believe today with all of my heart that the Lord loves each and every one of you. Thankful that he made that sacrifice, the final sacrifice to redeem us from sin. For without that, we would not have a hope. We would not have an assurance that heaven is our home. So starting with the 22nd verse, this, of course, is John writing, and he's speaking during the time of the Feast of the Dedication. It commemorates the opportunity that the Jews had to reestablish the worship in the temple, kind of in between the Old and the New Testaments. And kind of along that same line, do remember Israel in your prayers. And so it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, and then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe me not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. For my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Just kind of center upon that verse of scripture for just a moment. As the psalmist says in one place, Selah, meditate upon that for just a moment. He said, I give unto them, notice, he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, or in other words, gave them unto me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, for I and my Father are one. If correctly read, this includes the 22nd down to the 30th verses of the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John. And we want to take for a verse text, if God would be our helper today, in the 27th verse, where that Jesus speaks this about those sheep that are his. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. And our thought and our subject, if you will come from following the voice of Jesus. Jesus compared himself to a shepherd. Now, I don't know that much about agriculture. I don't know that much about herds and flocks and so on and so forth. But from what they tell me and what I've learned is that whenever that a shepherd or anybody overseeing sheep, whenever that they're dealing with them, whenever they're herding them, that sheep will get used to that voice. They'll recognize it. The shepherd can go out and he can call unto his flock that he's watching over. And those sheep will respond unto him. If somebody else would go out there, they wouldn't pay any attention to him. In fact, they might even run away from him. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ flock, recognizing his voice, knowing his voice, following his voice. And you know, you are the sheep, as the writer says in the book of Psalms, you are the sheep of his pasture. You have been redeemed. You do not belong to the world. You belong unto him today. And today you hear his voice. And his voice calls to you. From time to time, I'm sure you've experienced how that Christ, you know, you hear an impression from God. And it just almost like it comes out of nowhere. But then again, you recognize that voice. You feel the Holy Spirit. You know that it is him. And he calls unto you. Now, when he first called unto you, you didn't recognize that voice. In fact, probably the first time before you were saved that God ever dealt with you, whenever that voice spoke to you, it let you know, it spoke to you from the standpoint that you realized you were not his. I'm thankful for the gospel today and what the gospel does. The gospel is the hope of this world. Did you know that? My friend, they're never going to be able to negotiate peace anywhere in the world until men find peace in their heart with God. And that's just a fact. Paul said in one place, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, we could leave that scripture right there, but he goes on and says, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek or unto the Gentile. It's for all men. It's for all individuals today. I believe it's in the will of God that he wants to seek out and to save every individual. Now, not every individual is going to heed unto that voice. Because whenever the Holy Spirit deals with us in the beginning, it reveals to us that we are separated from God. People that are not saved are separated from God. Did you know that today? Before that I was saved, I realized, I knew it all too well, that I was separated from God. That, my friend, that I had no part within his kingdom. And I'll tell you one of the things that used to condemn me the most whenever that I was lost was whenever that people would stand and tell about how that God had saved their soul. And you might think that your testimony today does not have an effect upon a lost and dying world, but it does more than you realize today. Because people would stand in the congregation and they would tell about a time and a place where that God graciously reached down and saved their soul. And I'll tell you the one person, I could get out from under the gaze of the preacher. I want you to know that I could do everything I could. I was sitting there in church on Sunday thinking to myself, well, the Packers are playing the Lions. And I do everything to try to drown that out. But whenever that my father would stand and he would tell about how that God brought him out of utter darkness and out of a situation and a home and a place where that there was no God preached, where there was nothing ever mentioned about God. And he would tell about how that after marrying my mom, that he came into a church like this church and God got a hold of his heart and later he was saved. Boy, that would get to me. That would get to me. Because I knew that he had something I didn't have. And I want you to know today, my friend, that voice that speaks unto an individual that's lost is God's invitation. It's God's voice reaching out and telling them, come unto me. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew that Jesus himself says this. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I will give you rest. What people are looking for in this world today is peace with God and rest for their troubled souls. And they will not find it until they find the Prince of Peace. Isaiah called Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. He's the author of peace. And someone will probably say today, but yeah, look at the lives of those apostles. You know, every one of them were martyred, and every one of them died for their faith. And look at the Apostle Paul, whenever he was imprisoned and beaten and shipwrecked. That doesn't look like peace to me. But the peace that Jesus gives today is not the peace of the world. It's the peace down within the heart. It's an everlasting peace. It's a peace, my friend, that when we lean upon it and rely upon it, it'll get us through all situations and all troubles. And I would want that for the world. And I want you to know that Jesus, even after that, he speaks peace to us. And we become a child of God. That voice of peace is still there, even in the troubled times that we're living in today. It's the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ that keeps us settled whenever that we get alone in the dead of night, perhaps, and we think to ourselves, oh my goodness, the whole world's on fire and it's about to explode into war somewhere over here, over there. But you know, whenever that it comes down to it, God says, I've got this in hand. It's going the way that according to what I have prophesied through my prophets, and I give unto you peace. Peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth. My peace is an eternal, everlasting peace that will go with you wherever that you might go and whatever that you might find. It will not lead you astray. I do not know of any time that the Lord Jesus Christ led me astray. Now, if I ever went astray, it was because Paul Kofor led himself astray. And he would not listen to the voice of the master. He would not listen to the voice of the shepherd. I didn't lose my salvation, but sometimes I lost my way. And I want to tell you, God does not leave his own alone. Take that with you today. God does not leave his own alone. There are going to be times whenever that you might feel alone. There are going to be times whenever that you feel like, well, I've gone too far. But I want you to know the shepherd will come looking for you. The shepherd will go to any expense that it is given in his power to touch your heart and to make you to realize, I need to be back with the flock. And I want to tell you something today. We need the flock of one another. He says in one place, he says these words to this extent, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even so much more as you see that day approaching. And friend, it's approaching. There is no doubt that we are living within the last days. And I want you to know and realize today that we need to do more. We've got to stay together. The flock has got to stay together. Because outside of the flock, and I'm not saying that a person can't serve God outside of church, but I say this, we can draw strength from one another. We can draw strength from testimonies of one another. The Lord helped me through this. The Lord helped me through that. The Lord got me through this, and it strengthens one another. Brother, from time to time, I would just encourage you, text somebody and tell them, you know, you're on my heart and on my mind. Let me tell you about what God did for me, and I want to pray for you. And you might say today, use technology for something like that, brother. And I've prayed with people over the phone. I've even text prayers to them. That may sound crazy, but I tell them that I'm praying for you. And I want you to know so much more as we see this day approaching. We need to hear the voice of the shepherd and the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to take up, you know, our place in the flock and our place with him today. He'll not only lead to salvation. And I'm thankful for everyone that is here today who has been saved by the grace of God. I'm thankful for you today. I'm thankful that God has redeemed you. Do you know, I feel closer to you all than I do my own blood kin. There's not many of my blood kin left. But I want you to know that I feel closer to you all than I do to them. And not that I've got any problem with them. But I want you to realize today, we are bonded together with something that is more than just the genetics and more than just we're related. And, you know, my birth certificate says I'm from this family. That is good and that is well. But we are related with something that's even more binding, something that is stronger than that. We're united by the blood of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We have the blood of Christ flowing through our spiritual veins. Amen? We have the blood of Christ who has atoned us, who has redeemed us. And we have the blood of Christ who is connecting us together. And I want you to know, not only does it bind us together, but it causes us, as the song says, to love one another. The Bible says in one place, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one towards another. But he calls us even a little bit further than that. And sometimes a shepherd will lead his flock through areas and through places they don't want to go. Now, from my understanding, I know about goats, but from what I'm understanding about sheep, if they don't want to go someplace, they won't go. I'm not sure if I'm correct on that or not. But if that sheep does not want to go over some rough territory or whatever, that sometimes the shepherd has to come along, and I won't tell you which part of the sheep's anatomy he has to tap on with his staff. But I want you to realize today, he'll do that. Have you ever been tapped by the Lord that way? I don't mean in a natural way, but he just kind of moved you along a little bit. I can say I have. And I don't want to say I've got marks to prove it, but anyway, I want you to know several times he has. I say, no, Lord, I want to do this. No, you're to do this. But Lord, I like this. But you'll learn to like this. But Lord, I'll do this and I'll do that later. No, you do this now. And he keeps after me. And it's not nagging. It's not cajoling. But my friend, it's him wanting to use you. You are important to him. And he has a job for you that only you can do. You know, whenever Moses was called by the Lord and he was to stand before Pharaoh, do you know what Moses said to Pharaoh? Or said to the Lord? Why, I'm slow of speech. Why don't you send my brother Aaron? Well, Aaron will speak for you if you're slow of speech, but you are to be the representative. Only you can do this. And you know, God would not lay that upon your heart if he did not have confidence in you that you could do it. And don't ever think that you don't have the ability, you don't have the talent. You do. You just don't realize that you've got it there. God does, and that's why he's leading you sometimes in difficult places. We find that the Bible tells us over in one place something that's so, I have problems with it sometimes. But Jesus said in one place, and he said it several times, he said, take up your cross and follow me. Take up this burden that I give you and you follow me. I have saved you. I have redeemed you. You are mine. You are in the fellowship. You are in the kingdom. You are in this flock. But take up your cross and follow me. Now, sometimes the cross that he gives, we don't like. I can speak from personal experience. Oh, man, I, you know, in the final analysis, I wanted to do everything else. Oh, I'll go out and fight the world and win, you know, do all this and do all that if I don't have to preach this. But I'll tell you, there's a sweet surrender to it whenever that you surrender unto the Lord's will. And I want to tell you, that shepherd's staff feels pretty good whenever it's not being used up against you to prod you along. My friend, I want to tell you, God wants to use this church. You may not believe it. What can we do? My friend, what can 5 loaves and 2 small fishes do? It can feed thousands. You know, might say, well, I like to fit. Now, I'm not talking about going up to Palm de Terre. I'm talking about, my friend, taking what you have, putting it in the hands of Jesus and using it. Sing to the glory of God. Praise unto the glory of God. Do you know that the Bible says in one place, it said God inhabits the praises of his people. And one of the first things that David did whenever that they finally brought the ark into Jerusalem is that he began to divide up the Levites and he began to use them to sing choruses, praises unto God. David began to invent instruments for praises unto the glory of God. We have got a piano. We have got people who can sing. We got people who know about music. My friend, I want to tell you something. Sing to the glory of God. Someone will say today, well, I can't even carry a tin in a bucket. Well, my friend, I can't either. But when we get together and we sing praise unto God, do you know what it is? We're getting prepared for heaven. Because we're going to do a lot of singing there. And I'm going to tell you something today. There's a song you're going to be singing as a saved individual that not even the angels know. Did you know that? Well, the angels, you know, they're next to God, close to God, and they sing glory, 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 or they sing thou art God, and beside thee none other. But you've got a song in your heart they don't even know. You know what it is? Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. For thou hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood. Out of every nation, kindred, and land, thou hast redeemed us. They can't sing about redemption, but you all can. Because you've been redeemed. You've been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. And when we do that, my friend, I want to tell you, it gives God the glory. Well, I'm just going to hold off on getting up in the choir and singing, you know. Well, don't do that, because you're going to be singing in the choir anyway. Well, I can't pray. Yes, you can. You can pray. Every one of us can pray. Every one of us can offer up a petition unto God. Well, I don't know what to pray for. You start praying. Let God take care of that. My friend, I want you to know you can pray for the sick, the afflicted, those that are in nursing homes, those, my friend, of neighbors that are going through great trials, tragedies, things like that. God can use your prayer. And my friend, well, I can't pray long. I can't pray like the preacher. No, you can't pray like the preacher, but you pray like you.
Amen.
Because that's what God looks for. And my friend, that's the role that he's giving us in praying, that we're to intercede for others and pray for others that might be in a coma or might be too sick to pray for themselves, or a lost individual, a lost neighbor that may not even realize the jeopardy and the darkness that they're in, that they can pray for themselves. My friend, you can pray for them. You can't save them, but you can petition God and ask God to bring about the circumstances that they might come under the sound of the gospel and under the power of the Holy Spirit and be saved by the grace of God. I want you to realize today that we're to be fishers of mankind. Now, my friend, I can't even catch a fish with a net. And it seems like when I go to the bank to fish, the fish know I'm coming and they're over here. But my friend, at the command of the Lord, let down your nets upon this side. He may be leading you to just, if nothing else, to say something to someone and ask them how they're doing. And if they're going through conflict, asking them, hey, can we just pray together? We'll just pray over this. And you know, 90% of the time, they'll say, yes, you pray for me. And boy, there's an opportunity to use what God has talented you with and given you to do. We are also to occupy until he comes. You know, that's another thing that you can add unto this ever-widening mantra that I keep telling you about. For such a time as this, till he comes, occupy until I come. Now, I'm not going to ask you to repeat that. But, my friend, for such a time as this, you've been placed in this church. You've been placed in this century. You've been placed in this era. You have been placed where you're supposed to be in God's sight. For such a time as this, just like Esther that we studied about. My friend, that young lady would not have worked out if she had made up her mind or had some say in it that she'd be born in a different place. It would have not worked. But she was born in the era that God wanted her to be born in. And she was for that purpose, to come before the king who would tip his scepter towards her and say, what is your petition? Esther, I will give unto you even the half of the king. And she went down before the king and said, my people are in grave danger. This is actually my heritage. And you know, God used Esther. God can use you for such a time as this. Occupy until he comes. What is it to occupy? My teacher used to say, you do a good job, Kofer, of occupying. And I always thought, wow, you know, that sounds pretty neat. And he said, yeah, we don't know of anybody else we can get to sit in that seat up front. And he said, you know, you can occupy it. But you know, occupy also means that we're to go in and conquer. We're to occupy. We're in the devil's territory today. Did you know that? We're in the devil's territory. And Satan hates this church and he hates God's people because there's such power and such potential there to evangelize and touch so many hearts. And you know, we are going to be fighting a battle, yes, but you have been given the armor that is needed. Helmet of salvation. You've been given the breastplate of righteousness. You've been given loins that are girt about with the truth. You've been given the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And you've been given a sword of truth, which is the word of God. You are armed to the teeth, if you will. And you're to occupy. You are to occupy. And how often are we to work for the Lord? How often are we to reach out unto those that are lost? How often are we to do such things as this? I hope you keep this cross up. But how often are we to do this? Till he comes. Till he comes. We're to do it until that we hear a trumpet blast. We're to do it until we hear the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And we hear the cry from one end of the universe to the other, behold, the bridegroom cometh. If we do this faithfully, if we do this even in spite of all the things that Satan is spewing out of hell right now, if we do this to the best of what God gives us grace to do, do you know what you will hear in his voice when it comes down to that great day when we see him face to face? He'll say, well done, Elkton Church, and all who are attending, and all who are saved that attend, that may not be, you know, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'll make you master over all things. And I want you to know that that's what God is looking for. You know, there used to be a recruiting poster that said, Marines are looking for a few good men. And very few really went into the Marines at that time. But you know, he's not looking for Marines necessarily for this. He's looking for you. And his voice goes out to you. And I want you to know, hear his voice. Hear what he says today. Now, someone will make a comment, how in the world can I live a life where that I do all that you're saying? You know what John the Baptist said when they asked him about the Messiah? He said, I must decrease and he must increase. That's just the opposite of what the world says today. The world says, I've got to increase and I don't care who I step on to do it. Isn't that the way of the world? But Jesus says, I must decrease. John said, I must decrease and he must increase. And you know what happens whenever that John did that? Christ's ministry started and went into full action. And he began to preach the same message that John did. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Whenever that we decrease, that he can increase in our lives, and we can just totally give it over to him. We give all that we can. I'm not talking about tithes and offerings. That's one thing. I'm talking about giving of yourself to the Lord's cause. And you know, the more that you give yourself unto the Lord, the more that you do this, the more you're going to hear his voice, and people will say, gee, I wish I knew what God wanted for me. I wish I knew his will. But if you decrease so that he can increase, he will speak to you. And if you listen for him and don't have selective hearing like your pastor up here and just hear kind of like what you want, he will speak to you. And if you get into his word, and if you study his word, and you study what he said, and my friend, all the scriptures, and if you pray, your hearing will become clearer and clearer and clearer. You see, today, my friend, the voice of God can be discerned, and I want you to know that it is a voice. His is a voice that's even more perceptible, that is understandable, than even me speaking to you right now. There are those that would say, well, I wish that I could just hear the voice of God the way that Elijah did, and the way that Moses did, and the way that he spoke to the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. I wish I could just hear him audibly. You can hear him with a voice that's even more audible, because it's down in the heart. And there's where God deals with us today. So be in prayer for this revival. Be in prayer. Be here. Bring your friends. Bring your loved ones. We don't know if we're going to have another opportunity next year like this. Bring all that you can with you and ask the Lord today, Lord, speak, for thy servant is listening.